reviewing an article around EQ, and I ended up almost doing a book review there, but I still wanted to make sure I abide by my rules, which is that the last Monday of every month I do a book review. And Lydia threw out Playbook for Success because everybody who went to Manifest, of course, got one of these books for free. And for those of you who didn't go, or for those of you who did go and haven't gotten through it or haven't even opened the cover yet, I thought, why not? You know, Nancy Lieberman has been kind of an image for Manatech and, you know, out there for years. She's always been a good reflection for Manatech. She loves the products. She gave them to her teams when she was coaching a WNBA team. I'm sure she's utilizing it now in her D-League, Mavericks D-League team that she's coaching. First woman ever to get put in that position. So it's a, you know, it's, she's just a great promoter of Manatech, and so let's honor her today with reviewing her book. And I'll just open a premise about the book. It's you know, she's put a lot of her ideas and concepts in her book. And if you've ever heard Nancy speak, you probably kind of might have had the same reaction I do. She is kind of fun to listen to, anecdotal, but the way she talks, it's not always like really structured and really organized. So I found her book kind of going all over that way too. In fact, I talked to somebody who tried to read it, and they said Mary Jo had a very hard time reading it. So they put it down after about five or six pages, because Nancy, that's just the way Nancy thinks. I mean, she just is kind of, you know, she's done a fairly good job of organizing your thoughts in the book, but for Nancy, it just still goes in a direction. It's anecdotal and a lot of stuff, but it's still great. It still has some great content. So I'm going to try to wrap that content up for you today so that if you don't read the book, you'll get the most out of it. And if you choose to read the book, at least you'll see how I kind of outlined it and put it in a format that might be more understandable. She also wrote this book, for those of you who haven't read it. It talks about Playbook for Success, but a ton of the book is aimed towards women. I mean, she has a lot of things that talk specifically about women, that women need to do this, or women this, and women this. And, you know, so it really is a, you know, you can see part of her cause here is to get women to start thinking more in terms of a business model, more in terms of competitiveness, will to win, all these kind of things, and driving it towards women being the best they can be in what has, you know, the business world, which has always been deemed kind of be the men's world, and sports as well, before Title IX was exclusively men, and then Title IX kind of opened up the floodgates for that. So there's a lot of commentary in there. So I want men, if you read the book, don't be offended by that. It's just aimed at, a lot of it's aimed towards women. So let's jump in, and I'm just going to go through like kind of chapter ideas. She kicks off with talking about why sports. I've made a note to myself. I was going to read you, there are a lot of endorsements on the back of her book, like every book carries endorsements, but the one that I found that was most relevant was the one by Muhammad Ali, who is a good friend of Nancy's. Nancy Lieberman's Playbook for Success is a life guide 101 for every female 10 to 100. Every page reveals a valuable lesson that will enable success from the classroom to the boardroom. And that I felt was the most appropriate endorsement that she got in terms of what's actually content of the book. Chapter one was about why sports and business for women, and of course sports teaches us a ton of things. I don't know how many of you guys have been participating in sports, and I kind of get, you know, this is near and dear to Mary Jo because a lot of you probably don't know, but I played high school and college basketball. So of course I was pre-Title IX because I was a couple of years before Nancy. So I didn't have all the, you know, the whistles and bows of Title IX. I didn't get scholarships. We were taking rickety buses around, you know, state of Wisconsin. But I played for the University of Wisconsin. I played, and I was captain of my team for 2 years at Brookfield High School when I was in high school. So I kind of align with Nancy in other ways. I was a sports enthusiast. I've always been a sport nut, as most of you know. I was a Green Bay Packer fanatic and glad my team won the Super Bowl. So I can relate to her about the sports stuff and what sports teaches you, and being on a team teaches you teamwork and you know, support and all this kind of thing. But that, you know, there's a lot of leadership skills that are also taught when you play in sports and you keep up with sports. There's the discipline, ability to participate on teams, communication skills, goal setting, vision, positive attitude, perseverance, resiliency, and healthy competitiveness. All of that can come out of sports. Of course, unhealthy competitiveness can also come out of sports. But this is the idea of being involved in them gives you the ability to see yourself in a new light and tackle some of those issues. If you are an unhealthy competitor, you can actually learn and grow from your experience as well. She talks about business world favors athletes because of that. When they look at, you know, athletics on your resume, they're going to, you know, always going to have a penchant for looking for people who competed. I didn't realize that until, you know, when I was reading this book, I started thinking when I got my first law job, that was one of the huge issues. Now, I thought the guys at Foley & Lardner, the law firm that hired me, which is the biggest and best law firm in Wisconsin, that they hired me, I thought it was because they wanted me to play on, like, their men's league or something. You know, they're looking for a job. But the reality is, as I was reading this book, I thought, oh, my gosh, this really, because I remember hearing about it in a number of my interviews. But, you know, they look at that as a balanced player, somebody who takes care of their health, somebody who takes care of themselves, somebody who is competitive at heart. They like all those and passion for winning. Those are incredibly crucial characteristics for people in the business world. So anyway, sports and business is for women. She says the key point in the book came out of chapter one as well. Success flows from becoming the best you can be, from constant self-improvement, and from the pursuit of personal excellence. That quote exemplifies the entire book. So I set that forth in your outline as well. At the end of each one of her chapters, she puts three plays for the playbook. And in chapter one, which is why sports and business is for women, her three major points, and you can look at these in each of the chapters except for the last chapter. She said, failure is noble. It's have the courage to come up with noble failures. In other words, what failure is the willing to try something new to get out of your comfort zone and be able to learn from it. And so failure is noble. And too many of us don't look at it that way. That's a great statement for a lot of you on the phone today. Be flexible. We need to have a plan, but be open-minded with it. So you have to have a plan B. You have to have a plan C because things can happen that chain gets you off guard. So you have a plan, but you have to learn how to be flexible. And then strive for intentional greatness. Give your best every day. Here's her comment. Give your best every day, not just on the days you feel good. Wow. Does that hit any of you guys? I don't know. The other day I kind of got up and, you know, I work out now. Lydia and I are working out at 6 o'clock every morning for in half an hour and at Bally's. And one of the days, and we've been doing it for like 6 weeks and we haven't missed a day. But one of the days that, you know, after I got back, I was just kind of feeling tired and you know what? I really robbed from everybody in my life that day. Did you hear Lydia in the background? She said, amen. And I look at it and I think, you know, when I read this, I think, you know what? I wasn't seeking or striving for intentional greatness. I was allowing how I felt to rob not just me of that day of my life in being the best I could be, but how many others were impacted because Mary Jo didn't search out to be the best she could be that day. And if you look at your life and you start seeing that in your life, you go, "Wow, boy, that's a major point." So that's a good quote, and I didn't put it in the outline. So let me give it to you again. Give your best every day, not just on the days you feel good. And take that and apply it to your life. I think you'll have some aha moments as I did. Okay, number two is the playbook. She talked about the playbook. It kind of gets to the point where I like to make the people, you've heard me say this before, failure to plan is a plan to fail. So plans are critical. The playbook is, she calls it the Bible of any professional athlete, coach, CEO, or manager. And their teams is also called, that's the playbook, okay? It's a collection of policies, a collection of goals, key plays, you know, all those things, strategies for success. You must have a map. You must have a game plan. You must have a playbook. And it covers plan A, plan B, but you have to cover all the areas and aspects of your business. So you want it, no surprises. It'll reduce your surprises. And for Manatech, you can say, okay, so what do we have that's like a playbook for us? Well, you know, I consider the MAP program kind of a playbook for all of you. We talk about the four critical points, right? You talk about what do? Contact, invite, we do presentations, and follow-up. And we become masterful at those. If you become masterful at those four concepts, you will be presidential, without a doubt. If you've ever looked at all the presidentials in Manatech, can you tell me one similarity between all of them? I don't know. I think we're a very diverse group of people. We have tremendously different backgrounds. You have some that are very highly educated, some that have no education at all. Some haven't even graduated from high school, but they became presidential men. So it has nothing to do with IQ. It has nothing to do with how much education you have. And, I mean, this is so what is that driving thing that causes people to do that? Well, they, you know, it's people that are so determined that they put a map, they put a plan together, and their belief is so strong that they make it happen, right? I mean, if that's what you want to see as a stellar point, they learn the four key elements, contact, invite, present, and follow up. They get those down, and they get them down so clear and clean. And then they give us a map program that gives you, the 10 to 12, depending on what you're looking at, activities every day. And you just follow the plan. So you don't. We're not asking you to formulate a plan here, I mean, in Manatech, but because you already have one. You have a playbook. It's just how are you running the playbook? Are you letting the playbook support you, or are you ignoring the playbook in your path in Manatech? And then start thinking about, oh, well, maybe that's the reason I'm not very successful. Right? So how many of you have a playbook? You have to have a playbook. When you lead people, you must have a plan. I have people out there that are now starting as new business builders. I have a real anxious one that at church that's just doing dynamite. She came out just being a consumer, had remarkable results in the first 20 days on the product, and now she's sharing with the world. She's already got 5 people underneath her. I mean, it's exciting to watch this happen. But if I don't have a playbook for her, she's not going to move forward. I've got to have a plan for her, otherwise she wouldn't move forward. And I have to keep it simple. Very important, keep it simple. We always want to keep it simple, and that she talked about that. She also talked about establishing your leadership styles. That's part of your play. Well, you know, part of you, who you are, is what kind of leader are you? And she says, never be late, never. And she uses this concept of really. It should kind of put the concept, you know, like, are you really 15 minutes late again? Really? Did you really show up late for that event? It really is one of her favorite words. We'll talk about that as we look at her plays for the playbook. And you also want to show loyalty. You want loyalty back, so you have to show loyalty. Remember everything, law of attraction? Whatever you want in life, I love it when people say, boy, I just want more friends. I go, well, then you have to go out and make more friends. You have to be friendly. You want to have more friends. People don't just come up and say, can I be your friend? You know, who are you to them? What have you ever done to them? Are you stepping into people's lives every day? So the same thing, if you want more loyalty from people, what do you have to show? Tremendous loyalty to them, and you'll get a ton of loyalty coming back the other direction. And that also begins with trust. Trust is a key element, and trust is a huge roadblock for a lot of people in our society. They don't know how to trust. Lydia was laughing at me the other day. We were talking about meeting new people, and it was a cute thing, and I don't think she'll worry about me sharing this, but she says, you know, Mary Jo, I'm just not very good around new people. I just don't open up around new people. I said, well, why is that, Lydia? And she goes, well, you know, I'm just not very good around new people. I'm shy. And I said, but why is that? You know, you just don't say what, make a statement. You got to look at what is that difference. And she looks at me and she goes, well, not like you. You trust everybody, like from the first day they look at you. She was like, right? And it happens to be my nature, but that's who I am, and that's who I'll always choose to be, and it doesn't matter if I get burned 1,000 times. I'm still going to trust people because that's who I believe I'm called to be here on earth, right? And so Lydia, she finally, you know, it was good because it was kind of an aha moment about, hey, it's not just about I am that way. It's I'm choosing to be that way. Why? Because I don't trust people. So we need to have trust. And then the three plays that come out of this chapter was the playbook, your organized map to success. Have a map to success and follow the map. Of course, anybody can draw a map. If they don't follow it, they're not going to be very successful. And that I believe that's who we are as a Manatech. We have a lot of people with great maps, but they're not following them. You have to commit to it. And really, that's that word. She puts that, it's about accountability and putting the responsibility back on the responsible party without a lot of nagging and lecturing. So her comment would be like this. If somebody comes to a conference call 15 minutes late, she'll go, you're 15 minutes late to the conference call. Really? And that's all she does. She loves that. It's her kind of way of putting a jab in at somebody, making them feel like, you know, maybe this wasn't the right thing for me to do, is be 15 minutes late. So that's a Nancyism, as I call it, in her playbook, not necessarily yours, but have a way to hold people accountable. That's really what she's saying, and hers happens to be the word, really. Agree, disagree, and align. And it's important when you're in meetings and things like that, you know, to have an open agreement, open forum for people to be able to freely express their opinions. Because feedback's crucial. You want to hear what everybody has to say, so that in a like if you're in a teamwork or whatever, you always want to be open and ready to hear. But when you walk out of that to go hit the court, to go play the game, you all want to be in alignment. So agree, disagree, but make sure that when you walk out on the court, you're in alignment. All right. Third chapter, find your love and passion. I think this is critical. I love this. It's whether you love your life every day or not. It's a choice we make. Are you pursuing your passion? Are you doing what you love to do? Are you passionate about it? And if you are, if you're loving what you're doing, you're going to develop passion. You're going to have tremendous passion. You're going to succeed because it's automatic. When you love something so much and you have so much passion for it, that's another difference about some of the presidentials you see in Manitech. You can look at people who are extremely passionate. You think Jeff Allen is extremely passionate about health and his mission? Absolutely. Look at some of the people that are presidentials. Are they passionate about what they're doing? Are they totally convicted about it? Yes. Right? And I have some people in my organization, I won't mention names, but I have somebody in my organization that got to presidential, but his passion wasn't Manitech. Passion was bridge. He loved bridge. He loved to play bridge. He loved to evaluate. So you know what? Today he's playing bridge, and he's coaching bridge, and he's teaching bridge, and he's having the best time of his life. And I just, am I disappointed? Absolutely not. I'm happy for him because he's doing what he's passionate about. Now, does that mean you can't use Manitech as a stepping stone, build income in Manitech, and use it as a means to pursue your passion? That many people need to do. They need to find a vehicle to allow them to pursue their passion, because they need an income stream, and nothing better than network marketing to create that income stream to help support you pursue your passion. So you could be an artist, you could be other things, but you know, you want to love what you do every day. And that can be do Manitech part-time and do your passion the other day, whatever it is, but find your love, find your passion. And don't ever be afraid to push yourself to the limits and find out what your limits are. That's critical. She says, power of women's strengths. We have tremendous strength because we have empathy and intuition. Those are two critical things we have that she distinguishes us from men. That those aren't typical strengths in men, and some of this is stereotyping, so pardon me, I'm just giving you a book review. But empathy and intuition are terrific characteristics of women, so understand the power you carry with those characteristics. And the three plays for her playbook are, if you love what you do, you'll flow with passion, energy, and enthusiasm, and success will naturally follow. Number two, give more than you take. You can never outgive God. That's what I tell people all the time. Every single day it should be about how can I focus on others, right? That's where our focus needs to be. You know, as I tell people, I say, you know, if we could just get people to focus on other people every day of their life, there'd be less than half the number of prescriptions for Prozac written in this country today. Because the focus on self is what causes the problems. So get the focus on others, and then control your emotions. And that was huge because, of course, it went right after what we talked about last week around self-awareness and then managing your emotions, right? Critical aspects of being successful and moving forward. Never Fear Success, Chapter 4, and this is just about fear of failure. We have a tremendous amount of that going on. And I always recommend Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway by Susan Jeffers. She wrote great books around how to conquer fear in your life, because fear is going to happen. And Nancy says the same thing. Anytime you get out of the comfort zone, you're going to have a sense of fear. But it's a battle in the mind, and if you don't win that battle, you're eventually going to suck the life out of yourself and others around you. That sounded pretty grotesque to me, so look at that and see what's happening in your life when you walk in fear. A lot of people. We've been walking in fear a long time in this country. I'm so tired of it, I could throw up. I mean, all the Iraq war, the fear of the politics, putting so much fear in us. I mean, it was tiring because it's so wrong. It's so wrong. It just restricts you from being who you can be. So the concept is get beyond it. Go beyond it, you know. Feel the fear and do it anyway, you know. Let go of the fear and let success flourish in your life. That's part of her plays for the playbook. And always have open communication in good time and bad. don't hide from things. Her interesting thing that she said, too, that I thought was, when something looks easy and not much perceived risk, we think we can succeed, so we go move ahead. But when goals are set high, we get scared and lose sight of success. And it really is just a mental game we play with ourselves. It's all mental. It has nothing to do with reality. It's all mental. And you start buying into your own stuff. So sometimes you have to sit back and you have to take issue with what's coming into your head. Some of you say, well, Mary Jo, but that's me. I go, you got to learn to separate yourself from the thoughts that enter your head. You got to listen to those thoughts and go, what is this garbage that's coming up? It's garbage. If garbage is getting into your head, you're going to create garbage on the outside. So why are you letting that control you? You got to start listening to it and go, oh, phew, get out. Satan, flee from me, right? I mean, that's some of the language you use in the Christian world, but I mean, it's garbage. It's just garbage. No basis or foundation. And you know what? You can want to be right. You can put in there, well, I can't do Manatech. Well, if you want to be right, you know what? And that's where your belief is. That's where you'll end up. You won't be able to do it. One of my favorite quotes from Henry Ford was, if you believe you can or you believe you can't, you're always going to be right. So control that fear and the stuff that comes in your head that you make up. Chapter 5, Think Like a Champion. Of course, we always the difference between a good day and a bad day is your attitude, beliefs, and mindset. Golly, does that mean I have control over whether I have a good or bad day every day of my life? Absolutely. Does that mean nothing bad's going to happen to me? Absolutely not. Bad things happen to good people. But the only difference between a good day and a bad day is your attitude, belief, and your mindset. So choose differently. Expect success in order to find it, okay? So you expect success to find it. I think that's a great statement. I had to read it 2 or 3 times, but it came out of Nancy's book. Confidence and trust are the two other things you communicate with your attitude. You don't let anyone tell you what you can't be. Keep telling people what you can be. In other words, she was really high in this area about people in her past that said, oh, Nancy, you're never going to be able to do this, or you're not going to get to here. And she said, every time somebody would say something like that to me, she said, I just knew I was going to be there. She remembered one coach or something that she had when she was in high school, and she said, told her something about being in the Olympics in 6 years. And she looked at her coach, she says, what's your problem? Why can't I be in the Olympics in 2 years? And the coach looked at her like, and you know what? Nancy did it. She used that woman's lack of belief in her as a motivating factor for her to get to the Olympics 2 years later. And she won a silver medal at the Olympics, if you remember, when she was 19. I'm fitting youngest basketball player at that time to have won a medal, and not a gold, but she got a silver. So anyway, and another cute story in the book was the fact that her son, TJ, he was a young kid, and when Michael Jordan retired from basketball, and he was watching the television with his parents and or with his mom. I think his dad was in the other room or something. And they said the greatest basketball player to ever play is retiring from. They had all this newscasting going on the television. And TJ turned around and looked at his mom, Nancy, and said, "Mom, I thought you told me you were the best basketball player ever." And Nancy looked at him and said, "You know what, TJ? They had to tell that to Michael Jordan to make him feel good because he's retiring. Your mom is the best basketball player in the world." Isn't that hilarious? She was like, I believe I am. And she says, no one's taking that away from me, no matter what they say on television. I thought that was kind of humorous. Not that I would do something like that. I'd be more humble than that. But I thought it was a cute statement. 3 plays for the playbook out of this chapter were: have the mindset of a champion, attitude and belief are critical, challenge yourself every day. Every day, challenge yourself. How many of you do that? How many of you every day challenge yourself? Think of the difference you'd create in your life if every day you challenge yourself. Just put a sign up. I think you guys could totally change your lives if you just put a sign up on your desk or in your house somewhere that said, every day I will challenge myself. What a difference. Be a hope giver. Encourage and show others how to be successful. So go out there and help support other people. There's nothing greater. I'm telling you, some of my greatest rewards in the last 6 months a year, of course, my people in Mexico that are doing great now in Monterrey. That's a huge, huge, great success. I helped some people in my church buy two different groups of people. I helped them buy without any payment. I helped lawyer deals where I helped them buy their own businesses. And now they're in business and they're the joy in their hearts and the excitement they exhibit are so awesome. And I just feel so honored that I was a part of that process to help them achieve their passion and fulfill a goal that they had in their lives. And that's great. So it's just about hope giving. It's about encourage others to be successful, support them in whatever way you can. Okay, number six, it's all about teamwork. Notice that in the word team, there is no I. We've seen that no matter how many books you read about teamwork, you see that concept at many places. Part of teamwork is the ability to recognize the talent and abilities of others and apply them to one final objective so you get everybody on board in one direction. Teamwork is all about attitude. It is how we make each other better. So how do we support each other to make each other better? That's the goal. The three plays for the playbook and the teamwork one is work as a team. Whenever you win as a team, they will talk about it forever. When you win as an individual, that gets lost in the shuffle, but when you win as a team, it will be talked about forever. Two, keep your promises. Integrity is critical, and we know that. We see that across the board in everything we do. It's the one thing that only you can give away. No one can take it from me. Only you can give it away. So think about that. And then ask the key questions. I love these. If you add these to your daily routine, your life will change magnanimously. How can I make you better? What can I do for you? What do you need to succeed? What can we meet? When can we meet to talk about it? If you add those to your panoply of words every single day, because each one of you has somebody in your organization somewhere that could use your help today. So if you start using this terminology around people in your organization, you'll build resounding loyalty as well as friendships. And you'll get the focus off of you and the focus on others, which is going to help you be more successful in what you do. Okay, so great. It's all about teamwork, because if people motivated underneath you, that's what network marketing is absolutely crucial around that issue. Can you do it by yourself? There have been people that have done that, but they're not presential any longer. They only last, it's just...
Mary Jo, we lost you. I lost you. We've lost you, Mary Jo.
Hello. Mary Jo, can you come back? We want to hear what you have to say, Mary Jo.
Does somebody have a computer on to notify Lydia? I don't have mine on.
I don't either.
I do. I'll do it right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sure. Okay, I just hit send.
Thank you.
Yes. In the subject line, I put, we lost sound.
Mm-hmm.
The last I got was...
Hello, everybody. Mary Jo lost the line, so she is back on now, and she'll finish up the call.
Oh, thank you.
Uh-oh, more telephone problems. Sorry, everybody. I kept talking. I heard it kind of do a little beep, but I don't know what that was about. Hang on, let me mute everybody, and we'll finish this off. There we go. Okay, so anyway, we were just getting into, we just finished teamwork, I believe. Do your homework, preparation, that's chapter 7. And preparing is really critical. It takes guesswork out of things. I was just over the weekend preparing for my webinar tonight I'm doing on training how to approach karate studios and do the ISCA program. And I'm telling you, people, that takes a ton of preparation. It's just an invaluable amount of information that can really make you effective. So it's the same thing about us approaching, like if you chose to approach chiropractors or health food stores, you want to do a review and find out all the possible information you can and education you can to before you take a step out and do that, because it's just going to help you, what, create the best possible results. So, you know, preparation's about staying one step ahead of your competitors, the industry, what's going on out there. Be open-minded about differences between people and innovative ideas, especially during these difficult economic times. That's really important for us in working with people. Googling is a great way to find information out. I use it all the time just to find information about anything from A to Z. And always do your homework about the future, because what we are creating in every step of our way, we're creating the future. So we're in the process of, you know, being creative. You have to be open and ready. You can't just accept things the way they are, because they're going to be different tomorrow. If you get stuck in today, you're going to get stuck forever, because technology is changing so rapidly. We need to be ready for all the newness around us. So the three plays for the playbook out of that chapter were: do your homework, your prep will enable you to outperform your competition, be open-minded, and then ask questions. Again, the concept, the only bad question is the one that goes unasked. 8, she did a whole chapter on staying in shape, and that is terrific. I took a couple of things out of there because I totally believe in that myself. I think we should eat right. I think we should exercise daily. I think it's just part of who we ought to be, especially being in the health industry. If we're in Manatech and we go out there and we're not, you know, taking care of our own bodies, how do we expect to be effective telling people, other people, how important it is to take care of their health? I mean, the reality is we need to be an example. We need to lead by example, lead by modeling. So eat right, stay in shape, work out every day. A 2010 study in the Journal of American Medical Association said women who eat a regular diet need 60 minutes of light exercise every day to avoid adding weight as they age. So it's just a reality that we become more sedentary, we need more exercise, we need to do it every day in our lives if we want to stay in shape. one of the comments she made in her book was just start by making a commitment to work out for the next 120 days. And just see, after 120 days, if you don't have more confidence, more swagger, and a better positive outlook, it'll help you change your attitude. Huge. Be a role model. What kind of leader are you? If not, and minimize stress. Exercise is so crucial. They said studies show the quality of work, mental performance, and time management improves 65% or more on the days people exercise than on the days they don't. These are statistics, people, that are accurate representations of studies done about the impact of exercise on our body. So three plays for your playbook starting today. Make you a priority. A healthy you is a successful you. Do the math. In other words, eat right and exercise every day. You'll never need a diet. That's one of the reasons I loved Osalene so much, because I loved the behavioral patterns Osalene program presented to people. It was about cutting calories and exercising, right? Every day, cut calories, exercise. If you do that every day, you can use Osalene to get to the weight you want to be at. But if you just continue on a disciplined program, and that doesn't mean you can't have a hot fudge sundae once in a while. You know, I have my chocolate every here and there. But you know what? I don't have to worry about going on diets. I don't ever diet. I don't believe in diets. I just handle myself by eating well and exercising, and that takes care of everything else. Change will happen. Be ready for it. She also, by the way, in this chapter for you women, she wrote a little 2-page thing or 3 pages on menopause, so talking about how, whoa, we ought to talk about that, women, because it's a big issue. Because once you go through menopause, it even gets harder to lose weight and all that kind of stuff, and your body shape changes. So how critical it is for all of us to stay in that exercise pattern.
number, chapter 9 was sports talk. And I know some of you may not relate to this at all, but she really, and of course, look at where she's coming from. But she thinks it's crucial that we learn how to do sports talk. Read the sports headlines, strike up conversations. Storytelling is great to break the ice and open communication with people. No doubt about it. So if that were true about today, what would for those of you who might read the paper, you don't have to know everything about every sport. I mean, Lydia still talks about getting into the overtime when we play baseball games. So, no, I mean, she's laughing in the background. So, or when's the third period going to occur in the of the three periods in basketball? No, that's hockey, Lydia. No, but the intriguing thing is you don't have to know everything about the sports, but you can read the headlines. So if you're coming out of this weekend, what are the hottest headlines out of this weekend? What are they? Well, the Final Four, right? You're looking at NCAA basketball. My gosh, whoever thought Butler and Virginia Commonwealth were going to be in the Final Four? I mean, we have the most incredible Final Four in NCAA history. Did you guys know that? Never before in the history of the NCAA basketball college program have they had the Final Four not include either number one or number two seed. This is the first time ever. That's huge news. That's kind of a fun thing. You can just throw that out, and you're going to, I'm telling you, people will talk about it because everybody has a favorite team or they can talk about their picks, but it's going to help you break the ice. And what is one of the things that we try to do when we market with people in Manitech? We find things of commonality. And all Nancy's trying to suggest in her book is that sports is one of those commonalities. Virtually everybody out there has some, you know, kind of touch or feel or you know, insight into sports and sporting events. So it can be vital for your life. It can link you to lots of people. And sports talk also allows you not to take yourself so seriously. When you talk sports, you can laugh and giggle, throw out opinions and sound crazy, and people aren't offended by it. If you don't believe me, just listen to a sports radio talk show. It's like 90% garbage. So, hey, because they got to think of things to talk about for 4 hours. And they, oh, my gosh, it's crazy. And then using sports lingo, you know, you can say, you know what, that, you know, if we do that, we could hit a home run ball. Or that could be a grand slam. Or that could be out of the park. Or, you know what, Sarah, the ball's in your court now. I mean, there's a lot of lingo that you can take from the sports world and incorporate into the business world. So three plays for a playbook out of that chapter was use tickets to sports events as tools for connecting and rewarding people. So she loves to just give tickets away. Of course, a lot of us can't afford to give tickets away, but, I mean, it would be something that you could do as a special treat to people, top enrollers, people in your organization. Give them sporting events again. Tell a story. You live so you have stories to tell. Sports makes them interesting. She says sporting stories are always, and she had a whole flurry of them in her book. Pay attention to headlines. Read sports headlines and listen to sports once a day. At least get some flavor for what's happening in the sports world. All right, that's sports talk. By the way, what else is really crucial this week? If you talk to Lydia, she's going to tell you opening day is Friday. So she says don't call her after 3 o'clock Friday. She's at the Rangers game. So anyway, for people who are baseball fanatics, you know what? Opening day is this week, so you got that coming up as well. And then finally, her last chapter is game time. It's game time for you. It's time to show up, to shine, to show people what you really can do. To be a great leader on game day every day, you need to have integrity, take responsibility, and fight for unity among your team members. Also, you need to take ownership and get others to take ownership as well. If you have envy among your team, it's going to dismantle everything. Believe in yourself. So today is game day. It's game time, people. I love that. You could put that sign up in your office. Every time you open up your office door, it says, it's game time. And then say, if you're going to play the game of life, play it to the best of your ability. So are you playing the game or are you still in the dugout? That's a good question for each of you to answer. All right, people, that's Nancy's book. I hope you enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun to read, just a lot of, you know, ideas and concepts. Take the ones that are crucial for you. Don't look at the whole out. Just take the pieces that hit a home run ball for you that struck on a chord with you, either a discord or and just that caused a reaction in you, and support yourself in making changes in your life. And that's what will make you the best you can be. Okay, everybody, love you all, and have a great week, and I will talk to you next Monday morning.